Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living, dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at tn4action.com. That's TN, the number 4action.com. And by the Tennessee Republican Assembly, a socially, morally, and physically conservative group of individuals committed to upholding the traditional Republican ideals that represent the American founders' original intent. We believe in God, family, and country. We believe in principles over politics. The TRA is the only rhino-free Republican organization in Tennessee. Visit our website at tnra.org. That's tnra.org. We've got some great guests lined up for you tonight. We've got Jason Henry. He's going to discuss his campaign for the for a seat on the Wilson County Commission. Keith Savada will talk about his House race in District 74 of Clarksville, Montgomery County. Francis Arthur, who's the head of the Teen Eagle Project in Tennessee, will talk about that organization and also her SEC race for District 16. Joanne Skidmore is running for the SEC in District 14. And Matt Stowe will talk to us about his race for district attorney seat in the 24th Judicial District. The phone number to call in and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. If you haven't already heard about the issue down at the, well, let's talk about the 706 unaccompanied minors that have made their way into Tennessee. Now, before that even happened, we already had a Protect TN Borders petition up. So you need to go and sign it. Basically, it's imploring our governor to stand up for us. That's what it does. It's protecttnborders.com. Go there, sign a petition. You can read exactly the wording that is addressed to Governor Haslam. Basically, look, stand up for us. Don't just roll over. And that's the gist of it. There's also a Facebook site. It's facebook.com/protecttnborders. And if you haven't already heard, the governor did send a letter to the president about the situation because he didn't know about the people showing up until after the fact. But if you read the governor's letter, it seemed to me, at least to me and I think several others, that he was more upset not so much that the federal government is failing to do their job, although he does make reference to that, and not so much upset that they were dumped in Tennessee, but just that he didn't have prior notice. I mean, that's just that's the way I took the letter when it was all said and done. Hey, I don't mind you doing this over as long as we know it's coming. So anyway, I'm sure it's out there. You can read it for yourself, but make sure you sign the petition. I've got something else, too, real quick. If you, like me today, received your little letter from Lamar Alexander talking about his reelection and how conservative he is, you know, and I'm one of those who hates to hear the word conservative in the same sentence with Lamar Alexander because you talk about polar opposites. Anyway, here is a little ditty for you put together by some other people who are really tired of hearing conservative and Lamar Alexander said in the same breath. See what you think.
Well, I'm a politician who loves to flip and flop. Where there's donors and TV cameras, that's right where I'm gonna stop. I whine and I dine them and I go by my first name. I promise them and dodge them, but I'll fool them all the same. I say I'm conservative. Yeah, I claim I'm conservative. But I vote liberal left and left and left and left. Well, I'm on the left with Harry Reid and I don't care who's on the right. Cause as long as they don't look, I'll fool everyone in sight. And when they call my hand on all my liberal votes, I'll cut special deals with pork and dams and fishing boats. I say I'm conservative. Yeah, claim conservative. But I vote liberal left and left and left and left. Well, I love that D.C. hill. As long as taxes pay my bills, I go through life without a care. And with my campaign pot, I'm staying right there. Well, I'm a politician who likes to claim I'm not. I started out okay till I saw what privilege bought. When the folks are looking in, that might change my luck. I put on my plaid shirt and get chauffeured in my truck. I say I'm conservative. Yeah, I claim conservative. But I vote liberal left and left and left and left.
All right, just a little taste there of the lame. It's called the Lamarer, okay, or Lamer. That would fit for Lamar as well. And you can see it on YouTube. There's actually a PowerPoint presentation that goes with this, so you can look it up on YouTube. All right, we're going to get to our first guest. It's Jason Henry. He's for running for county commission in Wilson County. Jason, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Glad to have you with us. How's everything going in Wilson County?
I think it's going well. Campaign's been going strong, and we've got a lot of momentum right now. And I just hope it keeps up through the rest of early voting up till this Saturday. And, you know, the numbers will play out on August 7th.
Great, great. Well, so I guess you've just been all over the place, you know, campaigning in your district, and you've got at least one other person running against you?
I do. I have one... person running against me. He's a he's the incumbent. He's a registered Democrat. So for me, I think that I think that for the voters of Wilson County, especially District 14 where I'm running, that the political decisions are yours, and it's time for us to stop the hemorrhaging of the tax payers in Wilson County, and we can't tolerate another 4 years of Commissioner Jeff Joins with his tax and spend agenda. I think that all the conservative Republicans out there need to do their civic duty and get out and vote for real conservative candidates. And we've got to defeat these liberal incumbents across the state and across the country, really. The gentleman that I'm running against has some pet projects. I was building the Expo Center. And, you know, it's really only going to benefit a few people in the county. It won't benefit the majority of the constituents, and so I oppose that. And they don't have a way to pay for it other than tax money at this point. He puts the burden on the taxpayer. It was trying to increase the hotel motel taxes. We've got issues with delaying economic development with the Bel Air project out at Beckwith Road, which is going to which hinders our free trade, and it essentially costs us jobs and revenue in our county. And I think we needed a fresh start and a conservative voice in District 14 of Wilson County.
So was it mostly economic issues that got you involved in a county race?
That's a lot of it, yes, sir. A lot of it was economic issues, and a lot of people coming to me and telling me that they're tired of kind of the good old boy club and the whole status quo, people are, I think the national attention has gotten people more involved even into their local government, which I'm excited about, that now we can actually start to engage voters, inform voters, give them knowledge, and in turn empower them to vote the way that they would normally think, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
things that make sense, and instead of just popularity contests.
You know, and you bring up a good point about county elections because they get overlooked just like for a long time. I mean, I didn't pay attention to state politics for a long time. It was always focused on the federal. But, if we want the state to reassert its the powers that were reserved for it in the Constitution, if we want the federal government to diminish, the implied task there is that your state and your local government, you know, they're actively taking back those rights and powers that the federal government has usurped for so long. But, you know, we have to make that happen. If we keep looking to D.C. for all the answers, then they're going to keep coming from D.C., and we have to do something locally. Anyway, we've got a caller on the line. He may have a question or a comment for you. We'll go ahead and take that real quick. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Hi, tonight.
Doing great.
Good. I just wanted to call in, and my name is John, and I've known Jason Henry for many years, and just kind of want everybody out there to know what they're getting in Jason, a man of conviction and action, both passion and movement. I've actually watched his leadership over the years. I know he was a key leader in the military for several years. He still serves our military today, and a leader of young men, and willing to put his life on the line for our nation. And I've watched him as a medical professional all these years, very respected in our community as a medical professional, working in one of our local hospitals in the emergency room and serving many people since 2006. And I've actually had the opportunity, we go to church together, to dig holes and serve children on many, many different parts of this world. We've been to Bolivia and Panama and other places together where I've seen him just watch his passion move into action, that he's willing to take a stand for the right thing, willing to step up and be a man who's unafraid to oppose those who are doing the wrong thing, and unafraid to speak the truth. He's very candid, but in a good way. He's exactly the kind of leader that our county and Wilson County needs. He's the kind of leader who's going to do the right thing and stand up for what the constituents need and not just for the rights of the few.
Well, great. Well, I appreciate you calling in. And, Jason, you want to talk a little bit about your military background?
Sure. I served 10 years enlisted. I was a Navy corpsman attached to a Marine Corps unit. And then I had a break in service while I was in school and kind of got caught up in, you know, life. And I'd given up on my military service after about 10 years. And about 10 years later, I decided I really missed it. I missed the camaraderie. I felt like somebody when I was in the military poured their heart and soul into me and gave me a vision, you know, that I could do something with my life and encouraged me to go to school, become a physician assistant. And, you know, like the previous caller just said, John just said, you know, I feel like I am a respected healthcare provider in this community. And I wanted to give back to some younger medics, so I joined the Army National Guard here in Tennessee in 2010, and I deployed in 2011, 2012 to Afghanistan with a unit from Oklahoma, and, you know, they needed a physician assistant, so I volunteered to go with them. I served with them, and I've still remained good friends with, you know, most of them. It was all in infantry unit, and I feel like you know, God placed me with them for a purpose, and you know, I wanted to be with the real war fighters, so that's why I chose to go with them, and he's blessed me, kept me, brought me back home, but it's given me the ability to kind of have the street credit to speak truth into some of these young guys' lives that still need some direction, and you know, that's kind of what I'm about.
Well, thank you for your service. And we've got another caller on the line, and we've only got a few minutes, so let's go ahead and get the caller real quick. Caller, you have a question or a comment for our guest?
Yeah, I do. My name's Andrew Fisher. Good to be on your show.
Glad to have you.
I just want to add a caveat onto that last caller's comments. I actually served with Jason over in Afghanistan. He was actually my PA. I was one of the medics with the company that he was a doc for. You know, and I've had the pleasure, it's been an honor to get to know him over the last 4 years. You know, Jason, he's always stood up for what was right. He's always followed his morals and his family values. Upon returning from Afghanistan, Jason actually started a nonprofit for returning war vets that really just helped vets readapt to society. You know, ever since we've gotten back, just to show his leadership and his abilities, know, he still checks up on us regularly. He calls us at least every month. Not just me, but all of the soldiers that were there. You know, he takes care of us. He's always taken care of us. He's always done what was right. And I couldn't have asked for a better leader than Jason Henry.
Well, great, great. Jason, I don't want to rain on your parade, but I got to jump in here real quick. You know, we do have some commercial requirements. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Monday evenings at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Mondays, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and we're talking with Jason Henry, running for county commissioner in Wilson County. What are some of the other things that you would specifically like to accomplish as a county commissioner, Jason?
Well, I think I'd like to, you know, so my mentor has been Meg Beavers in this whole thing. She's a true conservative. I followed her track record, and I like to be like her. So some of the things that she's done that I could bring to local level is transparency, not afraid to stand up to some of the good old boys and say, you know, these are not the right things that are going to benefit the whole county. You know, smaller government. I think that that the county should only be in control of a few things, you know, your schools and school budgets and roads and your fire and EMS protection. But, you know, other than that, the government shouldn't really be involved in too many other things, you know, so yeah. to try to shave down the influence that the commission has on a lot of other things that really they shouldn't would be a big thing that I'd like to bring to the county commission. Transparency, you know.
Let me step in real quick. I just want to say this because we don't have a whole lot of time. You could not find a better mentor. You could not find a better example of a conservative in our state. And you know, you guys have her in your county, in your district, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad the state has her. We really appreciate her. And I'll let you get back to it.
Absolutely. She's amazing. I've researched, you know, politicians left and right, you know, especially in this election season, and she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be able to say that she's whose footsteps I'm trying to follow.
Yeah. What I tell you, if do you have a website or any event? Because we got one more caller on the line, but we're really getting close on time. So if you have anything specific that you want to put out there, I'll let you do that. We'll take the call, and then we'll see what time we have left over.
I really just want the people of Wilson County to know that I'm a live free and die Tennessee Republican, and I believe in strongly in limited government, lower taxes, and our individual freedom. So if you're in the 14th district or you know anybody in the 14th district, I'd appreciate it if you could get them to go vote for me. I do have a Facebook page, Jason Henry, Wilson County Commission, District 14.
Great, great. Well, let's take this other call and see if it's somebody else that knows you. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
I'd heard that Jason Henry was on your talk show, and I just wanted to actually call and just state that when I heard that he was running for District 14, I couldn't be more happy and more proud to have somebody run for our district. Jason, for all that know him, the amount of time that I've known him, I've been able to work with him as a professional level. But also get to know him on a personal level. And the moment that you meet the guy, you can tell that he is passionate about every single thing that he does. And to know that that kind of person is going to run for a county commissioner and put that kind of passion into what he believes in to turn this county around, it's just that's exactly what we need. You know, he's an accountable person, man. You can trust him to do the right thing every single time. You know, he talks about being transparent. He doesn't care that who you are or what he's going against. If it's not right, Jason Henry, he's not going to vote for it. He's going to do the right thing every single time. I just can't be happier, and I can't think of anybody else that'll be better for this position. I'm just glad to hear that he's doing it.
I've heard a lot of good things about him tonight, and I've heard a lot of good things about it from other people that I know and respect in Wilson County. And we know you have at least three votes coming, Jason.
That's right. I believe my wife's going to vote for me. So.
Okay, four. That's four. I know a couple. I know at least a few others are probably going to vote for you. But so you feel pretty good altogether?
You know, I feel good. I don't want to underestimate my opponent. I think that he is an 8-year incumbent. He's also a veteran. So I think that it's going to be a close race, to be honest with you, Dave. Hoping that the doors I've knocked on and the people I've spoke to and the people that know me have helped put the word out about me, and hopefully I'll end up victorious in the end.
Well, I hope so. I hope so, and I'll hear about it one way or the other. We have some mutual friends. We're going to have to go here in just a minute, but hey, thanks for being on. You want to put out your website or Facebook again real quick?
It's a Facebook page. It's Jason Henry, Wilson County Commission, District 14. Please go like it. I put things on there about, who I am and I encourage people to vote. And there's a link on there that you can sign up, and I can put you on a newsletter that I'm trying to put together to keep people informed. And that's how I plan on to continue to communicate with constituents if I do get elected, besides having some town hall meetings.
Great. Well, hey, good luck to you, and we'll be checking back with you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Okay, take care. Good luck to you.
Bye-bye.
All right, and we have our next guest ready for us. All right, we got Keith Savabda. Keith, how are you tonight?
Oh, doing great, Dave. How about yourself?
Doing fine. Appreciate you being with us. How's the race going there in the 74th District, which is Montgomery County, part of Houston, and part of Humphreys, right?
Well, it's part of Montgomery and all of Houston and all of Humphreys County.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I was
Okay. And then part about a third of Montgomery County.
Yeah. And your challenger is Jay Reedy, and he's originally from Houston County. And we
were
hoping
correct.
To work out a debate, but that just never quite happened. I mean, at least on the radio. But you guys have debated it, from what I understand.
Yes, we have a couple times, and I think people saw the differences when we spoke together. And I'm actually cautiously optimistic. We've been getting a lot of good feedback here in the last couple weeks. Got a couple of key endorsements from some good people in the district. This last Saturday was out in the district. Spent most of the day down in McEwen at the Irish Day picnic and got a lot of good feedback from the constituents down there.
Good, good. Now, kind of remind the listeners maybe some of the things that prompted you to run, what you'd like to accomplish for the district.
Well, I actually supported Lori Day, who ran for this seat last time, and when she decided that she was not going to run for re-election, or not for re-election, but run again, just the feedback I got from the Tea Party groups and Republican, real conservatives in the Republican Party, was why don't you run? Because I was chairman of the Montgomery County Republican Party and was just trying to find a good conservative to run. And put out some feelers, and it looked good, so I decided to throw my hat in the ring. It was just one of those deals where it was either time to basically put up or shut up.
Nobody to blame but yourself if you didn't make it happen, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you just got to grab the bull by the horns and go for it.
Now, which way to what exactly do you want to do with this bull once you get it by the horns? You got some specific things you want to do?
Well, I am a post-secondary instructor since retiring at Fort Campbell in 2010. I've been teaching at a technical school, and I see the problems that we're having with the schools, and it's not the teachers. I mean, the teachers are great. They want to teach, but their hands are tied, and one of the things I'd like to do is get the federal government out of local schools, get that power back to the local school boards, and even decentralize it somewhat from the state as much as we could. Of the things that I think needs to happen is, why do we have a state school board, the president that is a lawyer and not an educator? Mr. Huffman, I don't understand that. And we definitely need to get rid of this Common Core. One of the other things is to get jobs in here. And we had some good news here in Montgomery County today, in that Shiloh Industries is going to come in with about 120 jobs or so. And they
Great.
Are a
what
car,
kind?
Car parts manufacturer that supplies stuff to Saturn and Nissan.
Oh, cool. And when's that supposed to happen?
Well, they made the announcement today, and they're actually taking over a building that already exists. It's been empty for a few years. I think they're for them to retool, I think they said within 12 months they'll be up and running.
Great. You know, you mentioned education, and that's an issue that anybody in Tennessee that's been around for the last year especially has paid attention to, whether it's or at least the conservatives have, whether it's the issue of textbooks, bias, you know, anti-American bias, anti-Christian bias, pro-Islamist push in the textbook, the pro-gay push, all this stuff. But and then, of course, all the problems with Common Core. And pretty much any conservative will tell you pretty much what you said, get federal government out of it. And I agree with that 100%. I mean, we did not have a federal Department of Education until the Carter administration. And things have just gotten progressively worse. I talked to some people in our district here, some officials, and, you know, the biggest part of what we get from the federal government actually is the school lunch program. And, of course, when anytime you start talking about touching something like that, people get upset and start playing the kid card on you, the hungry kid card. But, you know, my thought is this. Education should be a state issue, not a federal issue. And I would love to see us just boot the Department of Education out. Whatever we as a state decide our teachers need for professional development, whatever they need first and foremost to teach our kids, and what, if any, level of food assistance, lunch programs that we're going to have, I think Tennesseans should be funding that. And if we want to really get rid of a federal agency, we have to be willing to do that. And I think education would be the place to start. What do you think about just flat out getting them all out of it together?
I agree with you. This last Saturday morning, Congressman Blackburn was actually in Clarksville, and she had a meeting with educators and with school teachers, and I was there also. And one of the things that she brought up a very good point, or she confirmed a very good point that the teachers brought up, that you were talking about this food assistance stuff. It sounds good, and the numbers look good, but when the devil's in the details, and what the teachers are saying is, you know, the kids come in and they get the free breakfast, but they don't eat it. You know, they'll eat the things that they like, but you know, they're pushing it, they're getting the fruit and this stuff, and they're not eating it. The food's getting thrown away. And they can't save it. They can't give it to the other kids. So, you know, really, what are we gaining? I don't think that that's a program that's actually doing what they think it's doing. And here again, and the problem is there, you have a federal government in Washington that is funding something. They can't see it. The people, the teachers in the classroom are saying that it's not working, but they can't correct the problem because their hands are tied. So, and that goes back to put the control back where it belongs, at the county school level or the local school district, however they're set up. The one thing we do need to watch in getting rid of the federal government is how they fund the schools, because you see a lot of these school districts that want to get reclassified as special school districts. Now, that is a clause in the state of Tennessee code, I guess, is where it's actually at, that if they get declared a special school district, they actually don't have to get their funding from the counties. They can actually levy an additional property tax. You know, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and that's the way they fund the schools up there. You pay a school levy property tax, which is an additional property tax. That's what we have to watch that we don't let happen.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's not a good one. That is not a good one. That's not something – we don't want that kind of special treatment, that's for sure. Hey, up against a hard break right now. I'm going to go ahead. I've got to do a little reading here, and then we've got a commercial, but won't take long. Just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing this until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn our world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And we're going to take a short break. Don't go away. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Keith Sababda. And Keith, I murder your last name every time. I apologize. Sababda. And he's running for the House seat in 74th District here in Tennessee. And I'll turn it back over to you. I know you have some things that you want to fill the listeners in on.
The big thing, anybody that has any questions, can feel free to call me at home. The number is, 931-241-8483. Check out our Facebook page at Keith Sababda, the State House District 74, or, our website, KeithSababda.com. The big issues that I see are facing us, like I said, were education, jobs, and part of the jobs is the infrastructure to get some highways completed here. I think one thing that would help the growth in jobs in Houston County as well as Stewart County is getting 374 completed out there to 149 to give better access for the industrial park out there. To Interstate 24, you know, just driving through the district, that just a lot of truck traffic that seems has to go a long way out of its way. And I think that, you know, if Clarksville, Montgomery County gets some bigger industry in here, they can get some of the smaller spinoff industry down that way to help out their unemployment, which is really pretty high.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Now, this is kind of a sidetrack here, but I got to bring it up because it's such a big issue. You know, education, jobs, pick another issue, it's all impacted by what's going on down on the border. I mean, we just got our first batch from D.C. of the 706 unaccompanied, not necessarily in your district, but they're coming. And, you know, I know one thing I'm looking for is I'm looking for state officials that are going to stand up to the feds. And I want the people that are not going to play nice with the feds when the feds are violating the Constitution and when the feds are allowing this invasion of our country. Any thoughts on that situation?
Oh, you're exactly right, and that's going to take a coordinated effort to secure our state borders and to get the sheriffs. You know, the Constitutional Sheriff's Act gives the sheriffs the power to stop a lot of this stuff. And one thing, and this was brought up at the meeting that I had Saturday with Congressman Blackburn, the teachers were saying that these undocumented kids that are coming in, they don't get the same, they're not required to get the same immunization stuff as our children are. So
they're not required once they get here, you mean? Or you mean where
that's
they
what
came
they,
from?
They were
required.
Saying that there's some kind of clause that they don't have to get it. The same immunizations that would keep you, your child, from being able to register will not stop them from being registered. Now, that's going to cause problems. And here's another thing.
Yeah.
People don't realize a lot of these kids are coming from southern Central America and South America. The people down there don't speak Spanish, Portuguese. So now
really?
you're going to have a lot of kids that don't speak Spanish, don't speak English, coming in here, and they're going to not be able to communicate with the teachers. And what kind of burden is that going to put on our school system to take care of these kids' medical issues and to get somebody in here that can translate for them?
Yeah, and not all these are little kids either. A lot of them are 15, 16, 17. As a matter of fact, I heard today on the news that they're actually going to have, you know, the government is trying to pay foster families to take these kids in, and they can take these kids in up to, what, 22, 23 years old if they're still going for, like, their high school diploma. That's insane. Those are not kids. Those are adults, and a lot of them are thugs.
Right, right. You know, you got to worry about the gang thing. A lot of them are coming up and are probably already affiliated with the gangs that are trying to get into some of these rural areas, and they're gonna the people to take them in are getting $6,000 a month. Is it a month? It was some ungodly
it's
amount.
It's something outrageous like that. It's an outrageous amount every month. Yeah, I want to say that's what I've heard is up to $6,000.
Yeah, I think that's what Congressman Blackburn had said, but. Another thing with this is those 700 and some that have already come in, they were given to supposed family members that are probably illegal. And now they're lost. They have no idea where these children are at.
They've already lost
we
track
really
of them. Don't know where
we,
they are now.
We really don't know where they're at. And now they're talking about building this big detention center. I think it's in Clinton, Texas, was where they said they were going to build it.
Right.
They're supposed to house, I think it was three to six thousand people. You know, they're planning for this to last a long time because a center like that's going to take at least a year to 18 months to build. So that tells me the federal government has no intention of even trying to stop this.
No,
and
so
this
it's
going
to be up to the states.
This is an invasion.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Did Representative Blackburn, did she say anything about, you know, maybe cutting off the funding? For instance, Obama did this executive order a while back, this I'm going to call it the DREAM Act executive order. I know that's not the proper name, but basically where he just arbitrarily decided certain classes would not be deported, you know, certain categories of illegals. Are they going to do anything to cut off that money? Because that those things still have to be administered.
She said that there was a bill that was supposed to be introduced this week. I have not seen it yesterday or today. She was sponsoring it in the House, and Senator Rubio, I think, was sponsoring it in the Senate. That was going to try to do that. Here's my fear. They're planning on bolting for this vacation the end of this week, and President Obama's going to do what he does best, whip out that pen and start doing stuff by executive action while they're in recess and let the court sort it out.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this. If Representative Blackburn and all these others take vacation and just leave Obama there to do more dirty deeds under the executive orders, then I think we should be hounding them. They should not get a minute's rest in their district. I'm not happy with any of them.
Well, you're exactly right. And I would like to say one thing to the people that are out there listening in Tennessee. We've got the – I know this is supposed to be about my race, but I want to say something real quick about our senator's race between Joe Carr and Lamar Alexander. We need to elect Joe Carr, and the people need to go ahead and support him. I was up at the Montgomery County Republican headquarters, and the people that run the office here in Clarksville, of course, told me that the only signs that are moving right now, and all of us have our signs up there. The only signs that are moving are Joe Carr signs. So there's a lot of support out there for Joe. But if a lot of people think that Joe doesn't stand a chance, so they're not going to vote, that's going to hurt. And we'll wind up with Lamar again for another 6 years.
Yeah, well, he has more than a chance. And by the way, there is a Joe Carr rally, and actually it's a combination Joe Carr anti-amnesty rally, this Saturday in Clarksville from 1 to 5, I want to say at the intersection of Riverside and 41A, and there's also one in Jackson. And I think there's going to be several more between now and in the 7th. But, yeah, we definitely need to send Lamar packing. We need to get people like you in the State House. I've got to do a real quick read here, and then we'll get back to the questions. Okay. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself Paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it. But you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking to Keith Sababda from the 74th District, or a candidate for the 74th District House here in Tennessee. And I'm going to turn it back to you, Keith. We've still got a few minutes here, and I know you've probably got some other things that you'd like to throw out to the public, things you'd like to accomplish, or other concerns you might have. So let's hear it.
Well, you know, I am a constitutional conservative. I believe that most of our problems can be solved at the state level, where we know what we need to do at the state and the local level. And what people don't realize is it's the local and state government that has the most impact on their day-to-day life. And I look forward to winning the primary and then winning in November and working with people like Senator Mae Beavers, Judd Mathene, Mark Green, and Tim Wardu to make Middle Tennessee and Tennessee itself a much better state and make it a place where we want to raise our families and more people want to come here to live. And raise their families, because this is one of the best areas, and it is a very, very lovely place. And you know, we have a good standard of living in a low cost on taxes and stuff like that, and we need to make sure that we keep it that way.
No argument here, and like I say, we're pulling for you. And do you have any debates lined up? Is there anything lined up with your opponent, your primary opponent, Jay Reedy?
No. The last thing that we had, I think, was this last Thursday down in Humphreys County. We had a candidates debate, and now it's just getting the vote out to for early voting, which runs through this Saturday, and then the final push into the primary on Thursday on the 7th. And then sit back and see what happens. Like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic. We've been getting a lot of good feedback from a lot of different people, business people, people in the media like you, that kind of out there getting with the pulse of the people. So I am cautiously optimistic, but, you know, I don't count on anything until the night of the 7th and I see the numbers.
Well, all right. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll be in touch. What's that website again?
The website is KeithSpodva.com, and the Facebook page is Keith Spodva for State House District 74.
Great, great. Well, hey, thanks again for coming on, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Well, I thank you for the time, Dave, anytime. Thank you very much.
All righty. Take care, Keith. All right, we're going to take a real short break. We're going to take a real short break, and when we come back, we're going to have our next guest with us, and we will take it from there. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And our next guest is Frances Arthur. She's involved with the Teen Eagle Project from the Eagle Forum organization, one of the better conservative organizations in our country. And she's also running for an SEC seat in the 15th district, I believe. Frances, how are you tonight? 16th.
I'm well, thank you. Yeah, 16th district. Yeah, it covers Coffee, Franklin, Grundy, Marion, Sequatchie, Van Buren, and Warren counties.
Wow, that's a big area.
Yes, it is.
And let's start with your involvement with Teen Eagle, if you can tell us a little bit about that.
That's my favorite thing to talk about. I love the Teen Eagle program. I've been involved with this now for about 3 or 4 years, and I get to work with teenagers who live across the state. We meet once a month at a central location to different groups. Right now we have 3 different groups, and we're hoping to open up one in East Tennessee later this fall. I come to you if you have 10 students who want to come and talk politics and government, then I will come there. When we meet, we usually pick an issue in advance, something like illegal immigration or the healthcare mandates or abortion. And I let the students research that issue for the month, getting prepared for the meeting. And then they come in and we talk about it a little bit and make sure that we're all on the same ground. And if I find out that everybody's got a really good understanding of the issue, then I will start playing the devil's advocate on the liberal side and, you know, mess with their mind a little bit just to make sure that they really not only know what they believe, but they know why they believe that and why the conservative side is the right. Yeah. So we
We're
do
not
that.
Called the right for nothing, that's for sure.
That's right. That's right. So I want to make sure they have a complete and full understanding of the issue. Sometimes we use videos to help enforce or reinforce that issue and make sure that they understand every aspect about it as much as they can understand. And that's what we do during the first semester of the year, you know, usually from August until November, December. When we come back in January, you know, the Tennessee General Assembly is in session then. So we start following bills. And I'm a mean teacher. I actually make them read bills, unlike Nancy Pelosi and some of our U.S. Yeah, unlike a lot of legislators. I will make them read it. So, of course, they don't read all 1,500 of them, but they are required to read some of them. We have a private Facebook page set up for them to discuss these bills. So I'll post something on there and say, hey, look at this bill that Representative Gemathini entered this week. Tell me what you think of this one. And they'll start giving me what they know and, you know, what they've read in the bill and whether they like the bill or not. And then I'll come in and say something awful. But don't you think? And, you know, play that devil's advocate role again. So, and they're usually pretty capable students. I'm pretty impressed with the students that we have involved right now. After we have studied some bills, I teach them how to lobby for those bills next with an email or a phone call to targeted legislators, you know, the legislators who will hear that bill presented in a committee meeting. So they contact them with a simple email that I've taught them how to word. I never write their email for them. I give them an example that they can use, but then they have to send me a copy of their email so I can make sure they're on the right track. And, you know, they follow rules of protocol and are polite. And then they send their email to those legislators. They, my favorite part, though, is when we get to go to the Capitol. Each one of those students has an opportunity to shadow a legislator for the day, and that's just so exciting. Last year we had so many students, it took me 2 days to get all of them up there.
That was one of my questions. How many do you normally have? I'm just curious how many kids are interested.
Right now we have about 45 students in those three different groups.
Wow.
And about,
okay. Now
about 20 or 25 of them shadowed the legislator last year.
Now, are they mostly from one area? Do you find that you get them from one area more so than the other, or is it a pretty good dispersal
across
the state?
Yeah. Now, right now, our largest group by far is in Murfreesboro in Rutherford County. And then we have a substantial group in
– bunch of troublemakers.
Yeah, you know how those Rutherford County folks are. Some of my favorite people in the world live in Rutherford County. I just love them.
Mine too.
And, then our next largest group, I think, is in Nashville. And the smallest group we have right now is in Manchester, but we're looking to expand that. We want to move that to Tullahoma this year and try to pick up some students who live, you know, in Winchester, Fayetteville, and maybe McMinnville and bring everybody into Tullahoma. So I think that group is about to grow exponentially.
Are you hoping to find some junior Judds out there?
I am. That's what I'm looking for.
Good. I hope you do.
I hope we do, too. I've had some really good students in the past. Some are entering college this year, and I'm just so excited to see how well they're doing. One of our Teen Eagles actually was Bobby Petray's intern this past session. So he got to be up there, you know, at least once a week, every week, and was able to help her and learned so much. There were sometimes he was able to stump me. He would contact me in the evening and say, Miss Francis, today Miss Bobby did this and the legislators did that, and how does that work? I don't understand it. And I'm thinking, I need to call Bobby and find out. I don't understand it either. Those are the good emails. I like those.
Well, I'm glad to hear there's at least some kids interested in what's going on in their state and their country.
Yeah.
And that's a good sign. And I'm glad you got people like you that are willing to work with them and bring them along the right way. And I mean that in every sense of the word.
Well, thank you. I absolutely enjoy the opportunity to work with those students.
Now, do you know the families of most of them, or do they just kind of come to you guys, come to Eagle Forum randomly?
No, I actually do know the families. You know, I might not know them initially, but a lot of parents, you know, because they don't know me and they're also concerned about their child's safety, they come and they'll sit into a couple of Teen Eagle meetings at first. And right. I appreciate that because, you know, that way that when they go home and their child is asking questions about, you know, our discussion that night on gun rights, their parents right there, they heard the same conversation. And ultimately, I don't want me to be their authority. I want their parents and what their parents believe to be their authority.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, parents' rights, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to watch that. I mean, a lot of people would like do away with those.
Yes, and unlike our school systems, you know, they try to keep the parents out. I like the parents to come in. It broadens our conversation a great deal.
Do you think any of your Teen Eagles, as a result of what they've learned from you and from others, have influenced their parents a little maybe?
I hope so. I think that some of them have researched so many bills and the legislators to submit those bills and vote for or against them. It's possible that some of those students are able to, you know, convince their parents. And I know for a fact that some have talked to grandparents about it and influenced votes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. That is great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a few minutes before the break, so anything else you want to, of course, we could talk about this topic as long as you want. We do want to save some time for your SEC race, but, you know, this is your opportunity primarily to say what you want to say. So another few minutes till the break, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay. Actually, I have some very exciting news about the Teen Eagles that's coming up really fast. We're planning to go to the National Eagle Council this year in St. Louis. It's going to be a huge event. As an example, last year at Eagle Council, one of our speakers during the day was Ambassador John Bolton. We also had President of Hobby Lobby, Steve Green. Yeah, that kind of speaker. And this year's an anniversary year for Eagle Forum, so they're going to do a big blowout. It's going to be great. So we're bringing some of our students again this year. And to help us fund that, we're holding a fundraiser on Saturday, September 6th from 12 to 4 at the Goodlettsville Nazarene Church. It's going to be Bluegrass and Barbecue Bonanza is the name of it. And we'll have Joan and the Boys Bluegrass Band, a barbecue lunch. We'll have lots of other singers and songwriters there. There will be a cornhole tournament, a country store with canned goods and art and kettle corn, a silent auction. And there are just lots of ways that you can help us out with that. I can give you a phone number for people to contact if they want to get involved with that. We really need some sponsors for this event and people to help us to supply that country store nom. The person you want to get in touch with is my dear friend Laura Lee Kurtzinger, and her phone number is 615-513-9381. And this is just going to be a great event. We really encourage candidates to come, and anybody who wants to learn a little bit more about Eagle Forum and Teen Eagles to be there that day. It's just going to be a great event. And, you know, it can be bluegrass music and barbecue, and the cost is only $10 a ticket. There's also this is my favorite part of this. I was so proud, and our teenagers actually came up with this idea for this event. We've established a military bank for people who want to support the Teen Eagles, but you don't live anywhere near Middle Tennessee and you know you can't make it that day, but you want to help us, you can buy a ticket to come, and that will be used and donated to a member of our military or past member of the military so they can come to this event at someone else's expense. So we really want to honor our military that day.
Great, great. Well, now, how long did you say you've been doing this?
About 3 or 4 years.
So within another 3 or 4 years, at least one of those, how many Teen Eagles are we talking?
We've got 45 right now, and let's see, I've got a few who are seniors this year.
Yeah. So at least one of them is going to run for state office in the next
few years. I believe in Jesus for that. You have no idea.
Great,
absolutely.
Great.
I see some of these kids starting out early, too, and you know, getting involved with local school boards and county commission seats, things like that. These are smart kids.
Well, we're just about up against a hard break, but when we get back, before we get to the SEC stuff, I want to talk to you about what you may have picked up from them in reference to Common Core, because I know you guys have talked about Common Core at least
absolutely,
once or twice.
Absolutely, yeah, we have.
Uh-huh. All right, we're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the Talk Radio News Service, I'm Keely Sullivan. House Republicans are planning to vote this week on a bill that will grant President Obama $659 million of supplemental funds for the southern border crisis. However, no one is certain that the bill will have bipartisan support when it comes to a vote. In addition, the House GOP and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi are backing a bipartisan bill that will grant $17 billion to reform the current VA healthcare system. However, House VA Committee Chairman Jeff Miller says $12 billion will be added to the deficit, which may cost the bill votes. Miller says the bill will likely come to a vote on Wednesday. House Speaker John Boehner says impeachment is not on the minds of Republicans suing the president. Despite claims by Democrats that impeachment is the end goal, Boehner called the speculations a scam and stunt to help hurt Republicans in this year's midterm elections. Keely Sullivan, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking with Francis Arthur. We've been talking about the Teen Eagle Project, and before the break, I mentioned the Common Core issue, and I just imagine that these kids kind of have kind of an interesting perspective on Common Core because some of them have probably experienced it on some level. Some of them maybe have some teachers that like Common Core, maybe some that don't, but what have you learned anything from these kids in reference to Common Core?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. Earlier, let's start with this. In January this year, we went to, I took some of our teenagers to a conference, again in St. Louis, of Constitutional Coalition, which is kind of an educational arm of Eagle Forum. They study all issues concerning education, including Common Core, radical Islam in our textbooks. And our students learned a great deal during that three-day conference. I was very, very impressed with them and how they grasped onto these issues. And like me, we left the conference with our jaws dropped down to our knees, not believing how badly it was in this country and with Common Core. Got home, and I met with my Nashville Teen Eagle group soon after that, and one of our students in that group is a public school student, and she's just so precious, and bless her heart, she is really having a lot of trouble at school because of the Common Core standards and the things that they're asking her to do on tests and on writing assignments that aren't acceptable in the classroom. because she is a staunch, very strong conservative girl. And, I mean, her father has definitely raised her well. And so she submitted assignments before that were returned with poor grades. And it's just very discouraging for this young girl to write. I mean, she even wrote a letter to her state legislators explaining the trouble that she was going through. And they brought her to the Capitol one day so
wow.
she could explain this and meet with legislators. Yeah, a remarkable young girl. And I think she's just she's maybe going into her senior year, and it's just very discouraging for her. Sharp young lady with failing grades.
That is sad. That is sad.
Yeah.
And I've seen, you know, even adults try to figure out some of the math. I've read some of the math problems, and I've never been a math whiz, but some of these things are just insane.
Yeah. I was reading a math problem, or not really a math problem, but a list last night from a newsletter I got from Constitutional Coalition about math and how it's changed over the last 50 years. And, you know, 50 years ago, they could ask you, if someone sells their goods for $100 and then it cost them four-fifths of that amount in production costs, what's their profit? Well, immediately, those children 50 years ago would have looked at you and said $20.
Yeah.
Today, when they ask you a question like that, it's in Spanish. Or, yeah, they say things like, if you cut down this forest and this guy makes this product for $100, but he leveled the forest, how do you think the squirrels and the rabbits felt when they lost their homes? Yeah, that
no
sounds
bias.
About like
no,
common
no
format.
No propaganda there. Yeah, no propaganda,
no propaganda
there.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Not at all.
You know, and that's the thing, too. Even before Common Core, and I've noticed this for at least the last 10 years, and I've had problems with I made my kids learn their times tables because I didn't think the school was doing it.
Right.
Now, my kids can all do their times tables up to 12. You know,
yeah.
Here's the problem. They still can't add in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just assumed that they were going to learn that in school. But they're not.
Yeah, they didn't.
And that's, you know, I found out it's, you know, I was concerned because I thought maybe it's just my kids, and I get to talking, and none of them can.
No.
Of course, everybody's had this experience at a, you know, you go to a store and the person behind the register can't make change.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, I've had
pathetic.
To tell people before. No, I gave you $20, and the bill was $1.54. Now, count the change back to make sure that that's right. And they can't do it. They have no idea that they need to start out by handing me 6 cents to get to 60.
I know.
Not a clue.
I know. It's insane.
Yeah,
absolutely insane.
And that stuff, I mean, I worked at McDonald's many, many years ago, and I knew how to do that. And, you know, really, I say many years ago, it really wasn't that long ago. But from what I understand, Dave, it's not just in the area of math. It's, look at our history. You and I were taught a completely different thing about how World War II began than our parents were taught.
Yeah.
You know, we were under the impression that those awful Japanese flew over and just took over. And that is not what happened, per se. We need to understand that there's another part of that story that we were not told, and what our president did at the time that was completely negated in our history books. We have not been taught the truth about our own history is what I'm trying to say. We just have, even at our age, we were not taught the truth about history, and now it's just much worse to see what has happened, especially in the field of radical Islam. I mean, how on earth do you teach that radical is that Islamists and Muslims were the ones who found America? I mean, good grief.
Oh, I know. That's insane.
That's just plain silly.
You know, these textbooks were reviewed by teachers, and they didn't pick up on it. Hey, we've got a caller on the line. We'll go ahead and take a call. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Well, Dave, this is Ron. You might want to put me off until after she gets finished because mine's talking about a Joe Carr rally in Chattanooga.
Well,
and,
I'll give you about 30, 45 seconds.
Well, my goodness, I can't hardly handle that. You know me, I talk a little bit long for that. But anyway, the Chattanooga Tea Party got involved with this. Mark West, I don't know if you know him. He's the president down there for that.
Yep.
And
good
nice
man,
guy.
Man.
And he got notified us like this morning that there was going to be a rally for Lamar out at Rib and Loin in Chattanooga. I don't know if you've ever been there. Real good barbecue place. But he told everybody to come on out. He'd have signs and stuff. Well, Mark not only had signs and stuff, he had T-shirts too. So everybody out there that was a car voter was dressed in a T-shirt and had a sign. And we had about 60 as best as I could count, but it's kind of like counting rabbits in a box, you know. They move so much you can't tell. But all I can tell you is there was about 20 more of us, the car supporters there, than there were for Lamar supporters. It was pretty sweet.
Good.
And
good.
There was
especially in East Tennessee.
Oh, I'm telling you, it was really nice. If we'd had any more notice than we had, we would have been able to put 150 or 200 out there on the street. But less than 20, we just got notice this morning about it and didn't know, so everybody just had to rush out there and do it. But it turned out well, and I'm going to post some pictures on Carr's website and Chattanooga Tea Party's website if you want to go look at them after a while. There's a couple of stories in there that you have to hear to believe. It's too funny. There was some really weird and wild and crazy stuff went on today.
Well, great. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear you guys were able to show up and outnumber them. Later, I'm glad of that. If we get a chance,
go
I'm going
to
play
I'll
again.
Talk to you later.
All right. Take care, Ron. Thanks.
Be good.
A little later on, you too. I'm going to play the bye. Take care. The Lamar, I played part of it earlier, and this is a video, or excuse me, it's actually on YouTube now already, and it's a song about Lamar, and it's got slides with it, a PowerPoint presentation. So that is on YouTube. You need to look it up, and it pokes fun of Lamar claiming to be conservative. And like I say, if I get a chance, I'll play all of it before the show is over. Back to you, Francis, and we'll get back to right. Well, matter of fact, you know what, before we start, I do have to do a live read, so let me go ahead and knock that out, and then we'll get back to you. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalowski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 Eastern, 9 Central for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalowski, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking with Francis Arthur. And, Francis, we really got to talk at least a little bit about your SEC race because that's very important as well.
I think so. I'm excited about running for the state executive committee. You know, the first thing that I found when I started running was that really people have no idea what this is. When I say SEC, most of the men I've spoken with have immediately drifted off to football and said, what does this woman possibly know about that? And, well, the answer is nothing. I'm up front with them, but for my purposes, the SEC is the State Executive Committee, so I have to go through and explain to them that this is the governing body for the Republican Party. They determine the direction and focus of the party, as well as the rules, the bylaws, by which Republican groups in Tennessee have to abide. So that's step one. The step two, then, is what the problem is. The problem is our State Republican Party is drifting to the left, evidenced in the form of RINO candidates and RINOs who hold office. And that's not the foundation of our party. This is the party of Reagan and the party of Lincoln and Jefferson. We're Republicans, and we believe in state rights and individual rights and not the federal government control that we have now, and not even so much of the state government control. Sometimes I just want the government to get out of my way so I can do what I need to do.
Yeah.
That's why I'm running. I just really want the Republican Party to stay true to those conservative values.
Any ideas about maybe some structural changes that would, you know, let's say we get a lot of good conservative people in there and they take over the SEC and everything goes well for a while, and then, you know, they are kind of replaced over time. And if you don't have safeguards in place, then it's a whole lot easier for bad people to do things quicker without safeguards. And any ideas about making some structural changes?
Yes. The first one, let me tell you what happened in Nevada this year. In April of this year, the state of Nevada, the Republican Party there, stripped away from their party platform their statement concerning marriage between one man and one woman, and they stripped away their pro-life position from their party platform.
Good Lord.
And it's like, those are two of our foundational beliefs for the Republican Party. How do you take those out? The problem in Tennessee, though, is that we don't even have that list. We have nothing.
You don't have a platform.
Look at
No,
we don't have a state party platform. Go to the Tennessee Republican Party website and look for it, and you won't find one. And so that's one of the first things that I would like to see happen when we get some good people in there. I want a platform so that we can't do what the Democrats tried to do at the national level at their convention a few years ago and remove God from the platform, for crying out loud. We need to make sure that we stay true to those conservative values. And to do it, I think we need to write it down so people can see it, and then we need to elect people who are going to stick to it. But right now, without a platform, how can we know who we need to elect, who we need to put in that place? You know, I've been telling people that as I'm traveling through my district and working on this campaign, I've seen so many candidates running as Democrats who were actually very conservative, far more conservative than some of our Rhino candidates. They just don't understand yet that they're really conservative and their Democrat Party left them a long time ago. And somebody needs to tell them, this is what the Republican Party believes. What have we missed here? I think this is you. Run as a Republican. Now, don't get me wrong, Dave. If you're a Democrat, then by all means run on the Democrat ticket. It's a free world, and you can think stupid if you want to. But if you're a Republican, you need to be running as a Republican candidate.
Well, maybe we can make some trades for those Democrats that are really conservative and just haven't figured it out yet, and those rhinos who are really
rhinos.
Yeah, we'll we'll trade you some true blue dogs for some of these rhinos.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see it happen. So that's one of the things. I'd also like to see closed primaries. And you know, if you look at the race in Mississippi this year with that talk rate. There you go. That's all you need to know. You need closed primaries.
Let me ask since you brought that up, let me ask you, and somebody asked me this yesterday, and I hadn't really thought about it, but there's definitely a possibility. Do you think that we might see something similar in Tennessee happen with the Carr and Lamar race since we do have open primaries?
I think anything could happen in that race. I really do. That one, because we have open primaries, we have to absolutely put our faith in God and believe that this is going to work out. And then, not only that, God's only willing to do his part if we're willing to do our part. The true conservatives need to show up and vote in that election. And I'm sorry I'm not at liberty to say for which candidate I've already voted in that, you know, because of my SEC race. But I think it's pretty clear which candidate I'm voting for.
But we've
got to make sure that we get the vote out. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the concept of, you know, I think it should be easier to throw somebody out of the party, to just flat out say, hey, you know what, not only
did you not
get reelected, but hey, you don't even meet the minimum standards. You have violated this platform 1 times, and you're out of here. I think that should be easier to do.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, and you know, we did that a few years ago with Kent Williams in Nashville when he, he was running for the Speaker of the House. And
well, you know, I'm not gonna put you on the spot here too much, and obviously you don't have to respond because I understand your position. But I would like for somebody to explain how Bill Haslam is more conservative than Kent Williams. I'd be hard pressed to believe that Bill Haslam
is more
conservative.
That would be an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm.
And one we can have after you win, no doubt.
Yes, and I would be glad to have that conversation after I win.
I don't want to get you in trouble. So, but I would like to see structural changes. I think we have to have a way to hold their feet to the fire. We've got a couple minutes left. You have a website. Do you have any upcoming events? Anything else you want to say?
Well, let's see. I have a Facebook page. I'm too poor to afford a website. You know, I've really funded most of my campaign by myself with the help of a few really lovely, wonderful donors who have absolutely believed in me even more than I believed in myself. And I love them so much, and I really appreciate, let me just say, the Franklin County Republican Women's Group. God bless those women. A blessing on their house. Those are beautiful, lovely people there, and I really do appreciate them. And all the help that they've given to me. My Facebook page is Francis Arthur for SEC, District 16. And that, just push in my name and it'll be one of the two pages to come up. And I would love for more people in this large district to jump on that page and find out what I do. I post what I do. I take pictures of what I do. So there's absolute evidence that I was at Sequatchie County for their hospital emergency room grand opening, and I was at the tractor pull. I'm going to a tractor pull this Friday. I've never been to a tractor pull before, but I'm looking forward to it. So I actually go to events, and I talk to people and shake their hands and find out what's important to them. So I've been involved with the community. You know, I work part-time for Tennessee Right to Life, so I've dealt with churches across the state, and I've spoken at many churches across the state. So especially in this district, people know who I am, and they know my track record. I've been a foster parent for the state. I did that for 3 years, my husband and I did, and we had 7 children over the course of that time for different lengths of time. And one of the children I had was a little meth baby, and I picked him up from the hospital, Dave. And he could not grab your finger. You know how a newborn baby can grab hold of your finger? This baby couldn't do that.
Right.
And I had him for 15 months at my house. When I picked him up, I had to sign an agreement saying that I would wake up every 3 hours and feed him, whether he cried or not, because this baby didn't know to cry when he was hungry.
Oh, wow.
That is service.
That's terrible.
The ultimate, you know, when you say, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of him no matter what. By the time he left me to go into an adoptive family at 15 months, he was running around my house and playing with toys and screaming and having fun and playing, and he was absolutely beautiful. And he's the older brother of 2 siblings now, and it's just a beautiful family. But my track record shows that I'm into service. I'm willing to work with people and help them to accomplish what they need. And so I'm hoping that the people in the 16th district will give me their vote.
Well, I hope they do too. And I appreciate you coming on. Great having you. And I will talk to you again later.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate the opportunity. Good night.
Good night. Take care. And we have another SEC candidate. We have Joanne Skidmore. She is running in the 14th district. How are you doing tonight, Joanne?
I am fantastic, Dave. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, glad to have you. How are you doing? How's the race looking?
Well, you know, you always run like you're running behind, and it's always hard to tell. You think it's going very well just based on the support you have of the community and the constituents that you interact with, and so. You know, it always feels like it's really good, but you really never know until after the early voting and that final election day, August 7th. So just hoping for the best.
Now, this is not the first office you run for, but this is the first time you've ran for SEC?
That is correct.
Okay. And we're talking Bedford, Lincoln, Marshall, Moore, and Rutherford counties. You are a self-employed strategist, and you do small business consultation in the medical field, and let's see, co-founder of Laser Med Spa, and you've got quite a resume here. I you know, I only gave you so much time, so if I read all your resume, you're not going to get to say
needless to say,
you're well qualified.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you so much. You know, people can go to votejoanne.com. And it's got everything you want to know about me right there. I'm an open book. I grew up in Murfreesboro. My dad's family's all from there. My great granddad was sheriff of Rutherford County back in the 40s. And I joke because he had 10 children, you know, stair stepped all the way up, and he'd take the older ones down and they'd sleep over the jail so he could give my great grandmother a little relief with the little ones. So, you know, I'm passionate about our community here in Middle Tennessee and about our state and about shaping our state party with a conservative voice because, you know, it trickles down from there, you know, who we seek out to run for our offices, you know, whether it's the sheriff's office or your local county commissioner, your county mayor, or your judges on the benches. I just have been down here in Bedford and Moore County today and just really have been blessed with the community here and the people I've had an opportunity to meet and spend time with.
And what do you hope to accomplish in the SEC? What are the things that you want to see changed or maybe some structural changes, something besides just personnel? Obviously, we need personnel changes, but are there some structural changes you'd like to make?
Well, you know, it's interesting because every county party, I think, has dealt with some of the similar issues where, you know, there are factions of conservatism within the Republican Party. And a lot of people don't even understand what the SEC is, you know, and I've kind of shared some of that on my Facebook page. But, you know, we're the governing body of the state party. And then your chairman, who's elected by that state executive committee, he and one national committee woman and committee man go to the Republican National Committee. So, and then, you know, our goal here at the state level is to help shape the local county parties. And our bylaws, you know, have to be very, in my opinion, you know, there's a double-edged sword. You want them detailed enough to where they're effective, but not so detailed that they limit, you know, your ability to grow your party the way you want to. And we definitely have got to have people with the mindset that we absolutely do not need the federal government in our business here, and that the states we need are rights. The state rights are so important, and we need people who are governing with that mindset. You know, we don't need Obamacare. We don't need Common Core state standards. We don't need forced annexation. We don't need any of the Agenda 21 props there. And so you've got to have people who are elected in all positions that agree with that mindset in order for it to change.
Yeah, and we don't need any more illegal aliens.
No, illegal aliens, thank you. I said, you know, the rhetoric is so much about illegal immigrants. I said, do not dare use the word immigrant with that. People who illegally trespass across our borders are illegal aliens. They are foreign to us. And you know, I know a lot of good Christians who are convicted in their hearts because they see the news sound bites and the videos and stuff, but we have to, I think, you know, reunite those children with their families in their home country and support them in that effort there.
That's what really gets on my nerves. And, you know, I know there's Christians who think, well, you know, we just got to, you know, they're kids. We got to say, hey, you know what? If you feel that compelled, then you go join, you go to a mission trip down there somewhere. Or if you just want to go to the border until we finish deporting them back to wherever, then you go down there and help them at the border. But this concept of, oh, well, you know, they're here. We've got to legalize them. We've got to take them in and make them it's wrong. It's just flat out wrong. And they're being manipulated. And that's what irritates me is that a lot of these people in these churches don't have enough sense to realize they're being manipulated, and you'll just get more and more of it.
Absolutely. You know, everyone who comes into our country needs to come through our country in a legal process. And we need to honor those who did do it the correct way, legally, and respect what their sacrifices were to come in. Because when they came into our country legally, they came here with something. They came here, you know, with proof that they could support themselves and be a contribution and not a burden to our society. And when you have illegals coming over, that's not happening. And it's the opposite. We have an administration in D.C. that's giving money to these countries' leadership to send their kids here. So, you know, that's just not acceptable. I'm sorry. It's just not. And so it starts here at the local level.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I mean, as much as I despise Obama and his executive orders, you know, he can't do that on his own. There's something called the House of Representatives that controls the purse strings. And, yes, I understand we have a Senate. I understand the Dems control the Senate. But you know what? Our House has done nothing but cave. They've caved on everything over and over and over again, and now they're caving on our borders. And I'm just disgusted. And now, the battle line now really is the state. And I just hope that our state stands up for us.
Well, and here's the thing, too, with, you know, there was, 760, 770 illegals that were dropped off into Tennessee without our governor's knowledge. And, you know, there's been lots of conversation in the community about that and concern and what can be done. And one of the things I want to reiterate is the is the value we have in our sheriff's office. I think people don't realize the authority and the power that emulates from the sheriff's office in every county. And, you know,
right.
If you don't mind, I'll throw it out there, but sheriffmac.com, there's some great information you can find
there
at the office of sheriff. And it talks about, you know, he is the authority. He is the law of the land. And so nothing's going to happen in that county without his permission. But he's got to have the infrastructure of his government to support him in his role as sheriff. And people need to understand that, whether it's the judges or the county mayors or whatever, and the governor's office, you know, working with the county mayors, that's what will truly end up securing Tennessee. It will be our sheriffs of every county of the 95 counties in the state of Tennessee. So
they have the support of the state.
Absolutely.
And I hope that they get that.
And, you know,
Before we go any further, I'm up against a hard break. I've got to do a quick read and then take a short break. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it will take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. We'll be very glad that you did. All right, we're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Robin Zanner.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on The Michael Behrman Show. Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we are talking with Joanne Skidmore. She's SEC candidate for the 14th District of Tennessee. And, Joanne, back to you and why you're running and what you'd like to accomplish.
Well, I'm just an everyday person. I'm a mother. You know, I'm a small business owner. I've got four children. I've got them age 6, age 8, age 21, and 22. My oldest is a U.S. Army Cavalry Scout serving at Fort Riley. So I'm an Army mom. And, you know, I have a strong health care background and license and insurance. I've had an agency, and I do work in real estate. So I know the challenges that are, you know, your neighbors are in your family are faced with, you know, whether it's with your business or whether it's with your health care from a care provider standpoint or as a patient. I'm going to my 8th year of a survivor of kidney cancer, so I know what it's like to be faced with those adversities and the challenges that come with that. And having children that have been in public school and private and seen the pros and cons of both experiences. But I think every parent and every educator should have a voice in how our children are educated. And if a parent wants to homeschool their children, I think they should absolutely be able to do that. And I think that they're the parent. That's their child, not the government. And so I'm really passionate about defeating this Common Core. And anything to do with Agenda 21, you know, the forced annexation, Obamacare, all of this is nothing but to bring America to its knees and to attempt to bring our great state to its knees. But I'm confident with conservatives like me and like you and those who will go out to the polls, you know, between now and August 7th, we can make a change, but we do have to act. And it is a sense of urgency.
Well, I agree 100%. And, you know, like I say, there is a lot that the state needs to do. And, you know, if the state, and not just our state, but all the states will stand up. I mean, you know, it was only, 2 years ago when Justice Roberts, you know, his overall decision on health care was the wrong one, and it was a bad decision. But one good thing he did say was that states do have powers under the 10th Amendment, but they have to exercise them. And that's true. And, you know, here's the deal. Politicians react to pressure. If we want them to stand up for the state, if we want our state to stand up, we have to force our politicians to do that. And, you know, the SEC would be one avenue of that. You know, maybe an SEC that had more of a 10th Amendment focus than the SECs have in the past. You know, I'm hats off to your son for his service and for you for being an Army mom. My mom was an Army mom, a long time. I'm retired, and I can tell you this. You know, the military has a code of conduct during wartime, and you know, you remember after the Nuremberg trials, you had all these Germans saying, "Well, I was just doing what I was told." Well, that doesn't apply in the military. If you know it's wrong, you're not supposed to follow an unlawful order. Same thing applies to the Constitution. If it's unconstitutional, it shouldn't matter who it comes from. The answer should be no. And I'd like to see more of that. I'll just turn it back to you as far as, you know, some other things you'd like to maybe accomplish in the SEC.
Well, one of the things you had mentioned is about, you know, holding our elected officials accountable and making sure they act. And one of those things, I think, with the State Executive Committee is keeping our districts informed of what is happening at the state level. And what I was going to get back to, I'm going to digress a little bit here, is, I ran for county commission, in my county, Leslie County, in a narrow marginal loss, but that's okay. I'm going to serve in a better way. But some of the conversations that came up in that process is a lot of times at the local level, county officials feel their hands are tied because of federal mandates, you know, like the basic education plan, for instance, on Common Core. But, you know, if we are communicating from a local level with our state and our elected officials in D.C. about our concerns, because not just as a constituent, but as an elected official, hey, my constituents are coming to me and they're upset about this, and my hands are tied by this over here, what can we do to work together to make a change? Because we don't agree with this. And what I'm seeing is not enough people taking the initiative to go and get the answer. They're waiting for it to be spoon-fed to them and sitting only not saying, look, you know, it's not just the way it is. It's the way it is because you let it be. And so you got to go and make a change. And you make a change by being the squeaky wheel. It's like, no, we've got to change this and find out what's going on at the Hill. Because you've got some wonderful conservatively, elected officials up there in the House that are really trying hard to defeat Common Core State Standard. But they can't do it alone. And, you know, that's why it's so important for that grassroots effect of, you know, email, Facebook, phone calls, you know, and getting to the polls and burning up your elected officials' phone lines and their email about, hey, we don't want this. You know, we want it to keep it on the local level. So it takes some activism. And I think as a member of the State Executive Committee, what I would like to do is bring back information on a timely basis to my district and letting them know, here's what's going on and here's what you can do. And when we need to circle the wagons, buddy, let's circle the wagons, you know, and start the phone tree and let's make the calls and take action when we need to do that.
Do you believe that maybe at the county level, the county parties, the county chairs should have more power than what they do? I mean, right now they just seem to be part of the, as far as the state SEC is concerned, they're part of the phone tree. That's who they call to say, hey, so-and-so wants to come down and speak, and, you know, we're going to have this event, and I'll buy these tickets. And that seems to be the extent of their power. And I think if you want I think they need to have more power. I think they need to be part of, if not part of the SEC, I think they certainly need to have more influence than they appear to have right now.
Well, I think it's probably county-specific in that regard, you know, because every county in their interpretation, because each county has their own bylaws. And
right.
It's their interpretation of their bylaws, and they have standing rules. We just went through and revised our bylaws, and I was part of that committee in Rutherford County. And just a little blip there, I was former executive director, and I now serve as vice treasurer, excuse me, on the Rutherford County Executive Committee of the GOP. But what's really important for any county party is to understand the importance of their bylaws when you're creating them and to adhere to them. Because you are only as good, you know, your elected officials are only as good as your party. And if you're not following
right.
the rules that you set for yourself, then how do you expect anyone else to follow the rules? And the chairman, you know, there are some things they can and can't do regarding elections. You know, they can't appear biased or in favor of one candidate over another in primaries and stuff like that.
Right.
But, you know,
unless
every,
you're Chris Devaney.
Every chairman should have an executive director to help them with that. That's someone who's a non-voting member of the executive committee who's appointed by the chairman, serves at the pleasure of the chairman, to help them to accomplish the goals that they want for their time and their tenure as the chairman. But the chairman is only as effective as their executive committee. And executive committees need to come together and work together on, you know, the 80 or 90% of the things they agree on and respect each other's opinion on the 10 or 20% they don't agree on. That's where I see a lot of a fracturing in local parties is they, you know, not everybody agrees or sees everything the exact same way because nobody has the same life experience. And because of that, they're like, well, because you don't agree with me on this, I'm just not going to help you at all. And you can't do that. You can't, you know, eat your young, so to speak. You can't self-destruct. You've got to just, especially in a general election, you've got to come together, support whoever y'all elected in the primary and get them, you know, get the voters out to the polls and support that candidate. That's my opinion as an executive committee. That's why you were elected, that, you know, to set the example for the rest of us. You know, for everybody else.
Let me ask you something, because I've heard that whole 80-20 thing for a long time, and
yeah.
I think there's a certain amount of truth to that, but, you know, I think it really depends on what that 20% is, because there's some 20% deals that are just flat-out deal breakers.
And that's true, and I agree with you on that, but I think my point I'm trying to get across is you don't the party, you know, the executive committee, the chairman of the executive committee are the party. And so anything that the party does, you know, in the name of the party is supposed to be done after discussion and a vote by the executive committee that they agree to do that. Because when it's done in the party's name, you're doing it in the name of the executive committee and the chairman. So, you know, following those rules there, you know, it's important to do that, you know, because you have a united front. We're all working together to do this. If you have one individual that decides to go over here and do something in the name of the party and it's never been discussed with the rest of the executive committee, you're basically going out in everybody else's name and doing something without their knowledge or authorization. And so
right. That's
the importance of, you know, that's the whole point. We've got to set an example as a party so that everyone else knows what it looks like. And so they know that's the standard we're expected to hold to what the law says, whether it's a law you've legislated in the House or the Senate or it's a bylaw in your own party, you need to respect what's written because that was what was expected of you when you became an elected official. So I don't know if that answers your question, but, you know, I think I would not, because of my personal convictions, I would not want my party as a whole to suffer. Because maybe I didn't agree with another member of the executive committee, or maybe I didn't agree with another member of my party on something. I wouldn't want my entire party in the county or my candidates that are running for office to suffer because of that. You know, I would want to use whatever influence I have in a positive way, you know, because everything, you know, I'm a woman of faith, and I believe everything eventually will work itself out as long as we act in good faith and we do things to the good of those. You know, who loves the Lord. I mean, that's my belief system, and so that's my value system I'm operating from. I'm not going to do something that would be toxic or negative or draining on my county or my state party because of a personal issue I might have with another member.
Right. And that's what I'm seeing.
That's what I'm seeing. Not just you know, I'm seeing that everywhere. It's a statewide problem. So.
Yeah, you know, within the Tea Party movement, I've seen that, people that won't work with each other. You know, granted, when you get that many Type A's together, you're bound to have some problems. But I've seen it too, and I was surprised to hear from people that, you know, have been up at Nashville for a while, the different things that go on between legislators. You know, it's like somebody kills somebody's bill at one point in time, or somebody felt somebody deliberately undercut them, and it's like, you know, they might agree on 99%, but because somebody did them over one time, they will now not help that person. They won't help that legislation just because that person
ever
is now
again,
sponsoring it.
Because that's right. They'll never help them ever again. And I think if we have people in office, you know, here's the idealist in me saying this. If you have people in office who have those correct conservative values, because here's the thing, I'm always going to look for the good in the other people, and I'm always going to assume the good out of them. And if I do something inadvertently, you know, unintentionally or intentionally, whatever it may be, that may, you know, offend someone, and I'm aware of it, I'm going to go to them, and I'm going to apologize, because I want to make it right. Because I don't want there to be ill will. I don't want that to prevent us from moving forward and doing great things and the potential
right.
for the people who we represent. And, you know, I think that's called maturity. That's called maturity.
Yeah.
And so that's what you need. You need good, mature, conservative leadership elected in all of our positions of state, you know, House and Senate and in our leadership of our state and in the executive committee. And not there saying that there isn't that there, but you know, we all have met people who could benefit from a little bit more maturity in their actions and their choices. So
well, hey, I've enjoyed having you on, and I wish you the best of luck. And if you got anything real quick, you have a website or any events coming out you want to put out real quick?
My website is my name, Joanne, Joanne. VoteJoanne.com, and I'm on Facebook, of course, and Twitter and all that. You're welcome to follow me. But I would just really, really be honored and appreciate the vote of the people in the 14th District, Bedford, Lincoln, Marshall, Moore, and Rutherford County, to be your next state executive committee woman, and know that you will have a conservative voice in me, and you'll have access to me, and I will make myself present at your local county party meetings and keep you informed of what's going on and allow you to have an actual opportunities to participate in the process of the conversation. Thank you so much, Dave, for having me on. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your listeners, and I hope to meet many of them in the future. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming on, and good luck to you.
Thanks so much.
All right. Good night. We'll talk to you later. All right. We're going to go ahead and take a short break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have our next guest. If not, I've got some things.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise.
Oh.
Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're waiting for our next guest, Matt Stowe from the 24th Judicial District, to talk about his race. Anyway, just a reminder, if you have not signed a petition, basically strongly encouraging our governor, Bill Haslam, to not accept these illegals, and I understand the federal government's already dumped 706 of them or 760 whatever that the governor didn't even know about, but this is a strongly worded letter respectful to the governor to, hey, don't accept this. Don't accept the federal government dumping illegals in Tennessee. But the petition can be found at protecttnborders.com. That's protecttnborders.com. You can also find them on Facebook. Sign it and send it out to all your friends. I want to play something for you here. We mentioned the Joe Carr race a little bit earlier, and I played part of this, the first part of the show, and I want to go ahead and play it in its entirety for you. Some guys put a little bit of effort into this, and it is on YouTube. You can go find it on YouTube. It's called the Lamarer, however you want to say it, the Lamar and then an ER on the end of it. And, you know, Lamar's always talking about how conservative he is. Well, those of us who followed Lamar's record know that he's not conservative. We're disgusted by hearing him call himself a conservative, and here's what a few people that were tired of it did, and I'll let you hear it. And once again, there is a PowerPoint slide that goes with this if you go to YouTube and look it up.
Well, I'm a politician who loves to flip and flop. Where there's donors and TV cameras, that's right where I'm gonna stop. I whine them and I dine them and I go by my first name. I promise them and dodge them, but I'll fool them all the same. I say I'm conservative. Yeah, I claim I'm conservative. But I vote liberal left and left and left and left. Well, I'm on the left with Harry Reid and I don't care who's on the right. Cause as long as they don't look, I'll fool everyone in sight. And when they call my hand on all my liberal votes, I'll cut special deals with pork and dams and fishing boats. I say I'm conservative, yeah, claim conservative, but I vote liberal left and left and left and left. Well, I love that D.C. hill, as long as taxes pay my bills. I go through life without a care. And with my campaign pot, I'm staying right there. Well, I'm a politician who likes to claim I'm not. I started out okay till I saw what privilege bought. When the folks are looking in, that might change my luck. I put on my plaid shirt and get chauffeured in my truck. I say I'm conservative. Yeah, I claim conservative. But I vote liberal left and left and left and left. Love to hear my own voice, cause I'm addicted to spin. I play the piano and I'm in love with the UN. When elections roll around with the risk to change my luck, I put on my plaid shirt and get chauffeured in my truck. I say I'm conservative, yeah, conservative, but I vote liberal left and left and left and left. I say I'm conservative, yeah, conservative, but I vote liberal left and left and left and left. Conservative, but I vote liberal left and left and left and left and left. Hey, somebody hand me that Constitution, y'all. I need me a light.
That's the Lamarer. You can find it on YouTube, and like I say, it has a PowerPoint presentation that goes with it. Good job there by some friends of mine that put a lot of effort into that, and hopefully people in Tennessee will figure out that Lamar is not a conservative and that he needs to be retired. If we get rid of him, Corker, get rid of our governor,
get real conservative in there, you know, we might have some good things happen. We certainly need a strong conservative governor, especially with the president we have and with the weak Congress that we have. Hey, there's a couple other things that are going to be on the ballot in November. Amendment 1, so vote yes on Amendment 1. Basically what that does is it makes the Tennessee Constitution neutral on the issue of abortion. That way, you know, right now, as things stand because of a state Supreme Court ruling back in 2000, in Tennessee, abortion is more protected than it is by Roe versus Wade. In fact, according to the Supreme Court, if Roe v. Wade were overturned, abortion would still be protected in Tennessee. That's not a decision that the courts should be making. That's a decision the people should be making through their elected representatives. So that's what Amendment 1 will do. It's not going to outlaw abortion because, unfortunately, you can't do that right now with Roe v. Wade, but it will return it to the legislature and allow them to possibly reinstate some of the common sense rules they had before, like a waiting period, you know, informed consent, things like that. Right now, with the way it is, we've become an abortion destination. So vote yes on Amendment 1. Amendment 2 has to do with how our Supreme Court justices are selected. And our next guest has not shown up yet, so I've got Joanne on the line still, and I'm just going to unmute her mic, and if she wants to step in here and has any comments or questions, we'll continue to talk with her a little bit. But on Amendment 2, currently the Constitution says that your Supreme Court justices are supposed to be elected. They've ignored that since the 1970s. They've allowed the governor to pick from two or three different candidates that were selected by a judicial committee, a bunch of left-wing lawyers, generally speaking. So Amendment 2 is a variation of that. It doesn't leave it all to the governor. It spreads it out, but you're still not getting to directly elect. So if you think that the people that the laws are, or the people that, if you think you're smart enough to elect the people who are supposed to write your laws, you should be intelligent enough to elect the people who are just supposed to interpret them. So if you want it done according to the Constitution, you vote no on two. Don't know how that's going to turn out since they haven't been following it, but that's something you need to think about. 3 and 4, I can't speak to as much. I think one of them, actually 3, does outlaw a income tax forever in Tennessee, puts it in the Constitution. And, on the issue of judges, the Supreme Court justices that we currently have are up for retention. So they all three need to be replaced. So when you vote for the Supreme Court justices, they're all left-wing liberals, vote to replace them. Joanne, you want to add anything to...
Yes, you've hit on some topics I love to talk about. Let's talk about vote yes on one, that first one. You hit the nail on the head on a lot of that. I have a healthcare background, so my first and foremost thought when I think of yes on one is this is really about a standard of care for women who make that I'm sure difficult choice in their lives. Because right now there's no standard of care. If you or I were going to go to the hospital and get any kind of procedure of any sort, you know, you have to have lab work, you know, you've got to have an informed consent where the doctor explains to you the risks and benefits of that procedure and, you know, what the goal outcome is, but what could happen if something goes wrong.
Yep.
You know,
we got about a minute left.
Okay, well, there's all those things, and yes on one is to make sure that happens. Because right now there's not a standard of care there that there is with any other kind of surgical procedure. And so that would slow us down and keep us from being a destination state for abortion. So, yes, and we need half of the governor's vote. And we know he's going to be nominated, so just vote for yes on one.
Yep. Yes on one. Well, I hope that we do pass that, and that's very important. Yes on one. I do hope that the people vote to basically force the state to vote for their Supreme Court justices the way we're supposed to, and hopefully we will forever ban an income tax in Tennessee. So we'll see how that turns out. Hey, once again, great having you on. Appreciate you being with us, and good luck in your race.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
That's all for this week. We'll see you next week. Take care.